Hello. How are we all? Guess who hasn't fixed the arm for our mic? Told you about that last week. If you've not listened, then the wee... Is it a bolt? Is it a... It's not a screw. The wee thing that you go, you twist it and it holds it in place on the desk. And you know what I mean. I need to get a new one of them because the thread's not threading. So I'm holding my mic again this week. So if you hear any random noises, I've either dropped the mic, fell over the mic, stood on the wire, something's went wrong. But that's just me, isn't it? That's welcome to the life of Aileen. Welcome to Aileen's world. Welcome to Aileen's brain. It's not all it's cracked up to be sometimes, but sometimes it's very entertaining. Oh, right. I have been so tired this week. Now, I know I'm always busy. I know I've always got something else going on. But by 10 a.m. I'm ready to go back to my bed. I'm in my bed for like 8:30 every night. The last... What day are we on? This is Wednesday. So say 5 days maybe. I'm sure the weekend I was like that. I'm sure the weekend I was in my bed for like... Half nine. Yeah, Saturday it was about 9:30, Sunday it was like 9, and then Monday, Tuesday, it's been like 8:30. I mean, I'm a grown woman, that's ridiculous. But, in my defence, I don't sit down for 2 minutes. So, I'm recording 2 podcasts, editing 2 podcasts, getting all that sorted, rebranding a business, working, taking calls, sorting out a third podcast, as well as doing social media, although I've been slacking on the social media side of it, as well as running a house, sorting 2 kids. Yeah, technically they're adults, but they still need their mammy. And doing everything that you do anyway to survive. But I just don't know how I'm tired. I don't know if it's one of the ones that, you know, we all get a certain time of year, a certain time of the month, or every so many weeks, we have a wee blip. I'm thinking it might be that, but there's also the possibility that my iron tablets have stopped. Yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to put in another prescription for them, or whether I was to get my bloods done again, and I can't get an appointment with my doctor for loving her money. So, it could be the iron levels are dropping again. Listen. Whatever it is, it'll be. But I'm falling apart. I had to go for an emergency appointment at the optician's on Saturday. Phoned on Friday, got me in on Saturday, and I have to go back there in like 2 or 3 weeks. They've given me eye drops, which my boys are finding hilarious, trying to put them in my eyes. One of them is holding his harem up as high as possible and saying, do you think if I've done it for here, it'll get into your eye? And I'm like, my poor eye. I'm like sitting here trying to hold my eye wide open, and you're wanting to be having some sort of hilarity. Is this what my life's came to? I mean, to be fair, I probably would have done that at his age as well, but that's not the point of the story. So, what has everybody been up to? Did you listen last week? What did I talk about? I think, did I not touch on trolling last week? Was that the week before? I don't know. My brain's not braining. But if any of you notice, sometimes when you speak about something and then you notice it happening, you maybe don't notice it before. I probably didn't notice as much trolling before, but there's definitely more trolling on certain apps than there is on others. And like I said, a lot of it's not even the kids trolling each other, it's grown-ass adults. And this just baffles me. We're supposed to be teaching the kids that your future's better and that you act in a certain way, and all these adults are fighting amongst each other for no reason. Anyway, that's nothing to do with me because I'm not involved in it, so I'm staying out of it. But I say I'm staying out of it to an extent. I do think something needs to be done about it, and I will keep pressing on that one, but that's behind the scenes. So, today, We have arrived. I am recording on time. Go me. I didn't fall asleep. Don't get me wrong. Nearly fell asleep. Then my phone went and I thought, right, Aileen, get moving, get shifting, do something. Because in about 2 hours, your child is going to fly through the door and say, I'm starving. What's for dinner? What are we having? How long will it be? Is it nearly ready yet? It's like Groundhog Day. When it gets to about 4:30, 5 o'clock in this house, it's the same rigmarole every day. And even if you've got the dinner on, it's still the 9 million questions. So what are we having for dinner? Have I had that before? Do I like it? How long does it take to make? Does anybody want to watch anything? Honestly, it's the same, don't know about your house, but it's the same questions over and over again. It's almost like when you go on a car journey and it's like, are we there yet? How long does it take to get there? How far away are we now? You said we'd be there 20 minutes ago. It's normally me when I've burnt the dinner and I kid on that I didn't burn the dinner. And I say, oh, just another wee 5 minutes. And I'm like, you told me it was going to be ready 30 minutes ago. I know, but I had to cook it again. Had to do a fresh batch. Forgot it was in the oven. Menopause brain has a lot to answer for. I don't know how many of the listeners are at that stage yet, whether being menopausal or perimenopausal, but I genuinely don't know what bit I'm at. I think I'm perimenopausal. I could be full blown menopause for all I know. But it's not the one. And me and my hairdresser were talking about it last week when I was in a hairdresser's on Thursday, I think it was. And I was saying to her, why do we get everything? We have to give birth, we have to have periods, we have to do this, we have to do that. And then we get the menopause as well. And they get away scot-free. Don't find that very fair, do you? I mean, I know men do have things to deal with. Don't come at me, but not as much as us women. Okay. Let's just not start a debate on that one. So what we're talking about today? Today we are talking about what can affect your mood, but doesn't necessarily mean that you've got mental health problems, or doesn't necessarily mean you're, in inverted commas, depressed. It may feel like that, but clinical depression and things has to go on for a long time. And it has to have certain traits before you'll ever be diagnosed as being clinically depressed or of any other sort of mental health ailment. So sometimes we hear it a lot when women have babies, especially more so with women. It can happen to men as well, but obviously it's more so talking about women. But also look out for the men. And you hear everybody talking about the baby blues. And that's because it's not actual postnatal depression. It's just you're feeling a wee bit down. You're not feeling yourself. You maybe feel you're super tired because you've just given birth. Or you've just got this new baby who maybe isn't sleeping. Maybe isn't in a routine. Feeding's all over the place. And you're very teary. Or you're just not yourself. You're a bit agitated. You maybe have a short temper. All these kind of things. And unless it goes on for a long period of time or your symptoms get worse, it'll always be put down to baby blues. It won't then be put down to postnatal depression. Unless, like I said, anything gets worse. But again, men can get, just because men haven't actually given birth doesn't mean to say they can't get the baby blues. They can, because you're still going through the sleep deprivation. You're still going through the trying to figure out everything. And because the men didn't carry the baby or they didn't actually give birth to the baby, sometimes they can feel pushed out a wee bit as well. So we need to just make sure everybody's checked in on when babies are born. But that's not the only time these things can happen. It can be when you're grieving something, or someone, sorry. It can be when you're grieving, it can be when you've a relationship ended, whether it be your partner or a friendship or a family member. It can be if you've lost your job and you don't have another job to go to straight away, all these different things can affect your mood, but day-to-day things as well can affect your mood. So if you're not sleeping properly, if you're lacking in sleep or oversleeping, oversleeping can sometimes be just as bad as lacking in sleep, because if you're oversleeping, that might mean that there's something else going on. Why are you oversleeping? Is it because of your mood? Is it because you don't have anything else to do with your life at the minute and you just think sleeping is the best option? Not eating properly? Are you eating 3 meals a day? Are you eating the type of food you should be eating? Or are you just living off fast foods? Are you living off microwave meals? Now, I'm not saying any of these are bad and as a whole, but living off them consistently isn't healthy for your any of our bodies. If you're not taking in enough fluids, we all know we should be taking in water, but any fluids, if you can't drink water, you can add, here we go, this is a debate, isn't it? Diluting juice is what we call it in Scotland. Squash is what you call it in England. I don't know what you call it anywhere else in the world, because just that debate's big enough for me. So a cordial, squash, diluting juice, whatever you want to call it to flavour your water, you could add that in. And you don't need to add a lot in. You can add just a wee tate of it, just a wee touch, just to flavour it slightly. You can buy flavoured waters. Just try not to drink too much caffeine. You don't want to be taking in too much coffee. You don't want to be drinking too many energy drinks, things like that, because these are all going to affect your sleep pattern and your mood as well. Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? So if you get people that they maybe like a lot of attention, but then if the attention's on you, they maybe don't like it so much. Have you got, are you in a relationship that you don't feel valued in? And again, that's not just about a partnership, that's also about friendships, family members. Are you working too much? Or are you not working enough? Because not working enough, whether it be your choice or your employer's choice, can have a detrimental effect on your finances. So you're struggling for money. Again, that can keep you wakened at night. And not necessarily, I don't mean eyes opened wakened. You might not be fully asleep. You might be constant, your mind might be constantly working overtime. Is there something that you're overthinking or thinking about too much and it's affecting your sleep? Now again, just because your mood is maybe slightly lower or higher, because we do know that sometimes we can have a sit down. You can be up and down, but you can be too high as well. And again, that can be due to your mood, and you're maybe trying to portray yourself, as being the person you've always been, even though in the inside you're not, and you may be trying too hard. But again, it could be there's something else underlying. What is the right point? When is the right point to go to your doctor? Everybody will be different. Genuinely, everybody will be different. And the first things that your doctor is going to say to you when you go to them is, how are your eating habits? How's your sleep? Are you taking enough water? Are you taking enough fluids? Are you exercising? And I know everybody's just going to roll their eyes at that one, because you're like, why does everything have to be down to exercise, blah blah blah. The reason is because they don't want to just throw medication at you when there might be another solution. It could be something as simple as taking your bloods to see if you're lacking anything. It could be something as simple as, which isn't necessarily simple for the person that's struggling, getting your sleep pattern back the way it used to be. Are you just snacking on biscuits all day because you don't have time, or maybe don't have the finances for a full meal? And there is places to go for help. If it is that you're struggling for money and you can't afford to buy food, you can, there is places that you can go to for help, and there is the right support out there. sometimes you might be entitled to benefits and you don't realise you're entitled to benefits. If you're in the UK, the best place to start is obviously your GP about your mood, Citizen Advice Bureau, Social Work Department. All these kind of places can help you, and I know it's scary to think about Social Work Department, but they're not always there to, or they're not there, should I say, to make your life worse. They're there to help improve, and they're here, there to try and make things better for you. But then at the same time, there is a lot of people out there who maybe do have clinical depression or some kind of mental health ailment, and they'll say, I don't want to go on medication. Unfortunately for some of us, we don't have a choice. Some of us have to be on medication, whether it be short term, long term, forever. That's down to you, your body, your doctor, and everything else that goes along with it. There obviously is some mental health conditions that need to be medicated for your safety and the safety of others. Some, it's to regulate the hormones and regulate how your brain's working, I suppose, is the easiest term to say. But medication isn't going to fix, in inverted commas, anything. Medication's only going to stabilise. What you really need to do is figure out why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Get to the bottom of it. Talk it through. Find solutions. And there's different ways you can do that. Now, you can do it by sitting yourself and writing down notes, writing down lists. How long ago did you first notice? Did something happen at that point? And it's not to say that something happened at that point where it's affected your life, but it could have triggered a memory. Memories can be locked away for weeks, months, years, forever for some people. Some people lock things away and they never ever bring it back out again. It's a bit like the, do you know when some people say, oh, everybody's got skeletons in their closet? Now, that's not meant to be a derogatory saying towards anybody listening or anybody feeling a certain way. But it's about, you've just got something that you maybe haven't been ready to deal with. But pushing things away and pushing them away and pushing them away to the back of your head is never going to make it better. Because although you're not consciously thinking about it, you subconsciously know it's there. You subconsciously know there's something that you've not dealt with. You know you need to deal with it, but you don't feel ready. And that's okay, because nobody's going to force you to talk about anything until you feel ready to talk about it. But it's, how do you get yourself in the mindset to talk? How do you be brave enough? And I'm not saying not talking about it means that you're not brave, because you're still going through life every single day, which makes you braver than anybody. But you need to figure out whether can you deal with that situation on your own, or do you need a little bit of support? So, would it be someone that you trust? And it could be a very close friend. Listen, it could be a stranger, because that might be how the person that you think, right, okay, so they're not going to tell anybody. It could be somebody in your work. It could be like a boss, HR, a work colleague that you're close to, a family member you're close to, your partner. Listen, there's a multitude. But again, and I know I say it all the time, you've also got your GP, you've got pharmacists that will listen, you've got, if you've got a baby, you've got your midwife or your health visitor. There's nurses within your practice, your doctor's practice. You can phone up one of the charity phone numbers that are there to help and listen. They're trained to listen. Or you can go private. Obviously, going private means there isn't as long a waiting list if you do feel that that's what you need. But you could start off by trying on your own to figure out where the problem lies. Is it about getting confidence? Because if you're not a confident person, and like I said at the beginning, it could be because you've lost your job or you're about to lose your job. maybe you've been in that job since you left school and you've been there for 20, 30 years and you don't know how to go through the interview process, you're scared to go through an interview process, you don't know if anybody's going to take you if you're a certain age, and that is a fear for a lot of us, but none of us are getting any younger and we all see it all the time, we see it every day. Young people are in quite high up positions that when we were young you wouldn't have got to that stage for a long, long time. But the world's moving a lot faster now and everybody wants to do their best, or most people want to do their best, and your best might be different for the person sitting next to you in the bus. Your best might be doing the same job for 50 years and that's amazing for you if that's what you want, but the person next to you might want to level up every couple of years. It may be ambitious, but if they try, they might get it. I first struggled with my mental health and my, I'm trying to think, probably slowly started struggling in my teens, my late teens, but didn't fully show signs of it until in my early 20s. It might have even been before that, but didn't show signs of it, as in hidden it very well. I've told you all before, I was a social butterfly as a teenager. I was never in my house for many reasons. But I was a social butterfly and I just like going out and having fun and I was a bit of a reckless wonder. But anyway, listen, I've survived to this age and that's actually an achievement if you knew me back then. And I don't mean that I was doing anything dangerous. I just mean, yeah, I was here, there, everywhere and I never had a care in the world. I really didn't until I had kids. I just laughed through life. Laughed and partied and loved life. And yeah, I've got loads of good memories. Some not so good, but I've got loads of good memories. I mean, like I just said, menopause brain, I probably can't remember half the memories now. But I had a brilliant time as a teenager. Is there things that I would have liked to be better, of course? We all wish things would have been better. But my mental health journeys took me to where I am now. My full life journeys took me to where I am now. And yeah, in the moment, never ever thought I would even have seen 30, let alone be in my mid-40s. A lot of times, there was choices that I was thinking about making. It doesn't happen, luckily, and I'm glad for it now, but at the time I maybe wasn't as glad. But I was an absolute mess for 15 years or more, an awful mess, and probably a lot more than 15 years actually if you really count it up, but we'll just say 15 years. And I was in a terrible state. And life just wasn't lifing. Life wasn't what we all picture as a child. You think, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to have the perfect life, and I'm going to... Nothing's perfect in life. We learn that the hard way. Not necessarily the hard way, but we all learn that as we go on. You have to work for everything you want or that you've got. You have to make certain choices. And sometimes choices we make aren't the right choices, but then they take us down a path that might lead us to better choices. It's all life experiences. And once we figure that one out in our heads, I think we can comprehend things a lot easier, a lot better. We can understand things a lot better as well. And I don't have any regrets in my life. Well, one, that I never moved to Portugal and had the chance, but we've spoken about that. But no, I don't have any regrets in my life because I don't see the point. There's no point in having regrets in any choices you did or didn't make. And the reason for that is you can't go back and change it. None of us have got Doc Way's magic car. space time machine. None of us, we can't go back and we can't go forward. We just have to accept, to an extent, what's happened, where we've been, but where are we now? The thing is, you can make choices to make your future better. And when we realise that, it's up to us to make our future better. It's up to us to have a better future than we have had a past if we've had a bit of a rubbish hand so far. And you will smile again. You will be happy again. It might take time. And it might take talking through things that are so, so hard that you think they're going to break you. But once you release all that, you feel a weight off your shoulders. You'll also... You'll be able to see, you'll be able to make plans, because sometimes when you're holding on to negativity, you can't focus on anything positive because you're just constantly saying, well, it's not going to be how I want it to be, or I can't do that, or that's never going to happen for me. But take it from somebody who has had, excuse my French, a shitty hand in life to an extent. I have been a single mum twice. Wasn't able to work for a long time because of my mental health. Then when I did work, I had a lot of health complications and things like that, so I didn't have that job. Then I started up my first business, and when you're starting your own business, you have to slog at it, and it's not as easy as you necessarily think it's going to be. It's not a case of just saying, I'm starting a business, putting it on social media, and ta-da! Then you've got this booming business. It's not like that at all, and you end up working more hours running your own business than what you do working for somebody. And it's mad, because most of us start up our own business to spend more time with our family. Obviously we want a financially better future for ourselves and our family, but a big part of it is to be there for our family, watch our kids growing up, and then the next thing you know, the days you didn't want to work, you're working till like 3-4 in the morning, you're back up at 6 or 7 to get the kids to school. But that's only until you become established or you're able to take on employees, and then you can maybe share the workload. I still do everything for myself because I'm a very... I don't know the word to use. I like to be in control of everything I do in my businesses. But I do hope that in the future I will be able to employ people, because it'd be nice to let others in on that world. Obviously, I started another podcast, and I suppose you could say, in a sense, I've not employed Danielle because the podcast is both ours, but I put the topic to her, I put the idea to her, and she said yes. And then that's given her something else to add into her life as well, and she's loving it. I mean, she's loving bullying me even more than she ever has. I'm joking, she doesn't bully me. We're just very open. She rolls her eyes at me sometimes. When I'm relaxed and not in therapy mode, I say some silly things. I really do say some silly things. But that's just part of my personality, and that's what attracts everybody to me. It's how daft I'm. Probably because they all think that, oh, she's daft, we can get away with murder with her. But unfortunately for you, pal, no, doesn't work that way. But yeah, look at your mood, see how long it's been lasting, and maybe phone up and just ask for some advice. There's also the misconception that if you've got mental health problems, you're going to lose your children. I've heard that quite a lot in recent months, years even, more so months. Everybody thinks they're going to lose their children, because You're not going to lose your children because you've got mental health problems. As long as you're working with the appropriate people and you're getting the help and the support you need, and if you need to be on medication, you're taking the medication, and you're not a danger to you or your children, there's no need for your children to come away from you. The same as if you've got any addiction, it doesn't guarantee you're going to lose, Like, it doesn't 100% mean you're going to lose your children. You only lose your children if you're neglecting them, forgetting about them. And that isn't always something that you're doing intentionally. Sometimes it's just the way your health, whether it be your mental health or physical health, works. Because sometimes you might not have the energy to do it. But you need to ask for help. Don't let children suffer because you're struggling. Ask for the help. Don't put on a face. Don't pretend that you can do it all yourself if you can't. There's no shame in asking for help. If your children are of nursery age, and we all know some nurseries take in babies. So if your children are of nursery age and you are struggling, whether it be you've got postnatal depression, or you've maybe split up your partner, maybe you've lost your partner, maybe they've passed away, maybe you do have mental health struggles, maybe you do have some kind of addiction, if you ask the appropriate people for support and help, they might be able to get you a nursery place. If your children are at school, they might be able to get you some after school help, and all this will give you a bit more of a chance to build yourself back up again. Do what you need to do to help you and your children. If you don't have children, then again, it's just asking the right people for the help to make sure you're the best version of you. Because I'm sure you don't want to be continuing on life, feeling down, crying all the time, thinking that you're worthless, thinking that you're not good enough or nobody likes you, nobody wants you, all this kind of thing. I can assure you, after being in that cycle for a long time, it's not nice to feel that way. It's not healthy to feel that way. And you can come out the other end of it. Take it from somebody who is at the very lowest that you can ever go. You can. Now, since then, I've built up multiple businesses. Obviously, I've struggled. And I've struggled financially, and I've struggled mentally and emotionally and everything else. But if you've got the right people around about you that don't mind you offloading, having a wee rant now and again, that's amazing. I've got Danielle. Danielle listens to me rant all the time, but I listen to her ranting as well. It's finding your circle. Finding your circle, finding your peaceful part of your life. Like, what do you want in your life? Are you the type of person who wants to have an amazing career, a big house, a lovely car, go on holidays 3 times a year? If you are, go do it. But how do you do it? That's where we need to build you up. If you're unsure how to do that yourself, there is ways to get help. Or are you the type of person who wants to be a stay-at-home mum, have the dinner on the table, have the kids in a routine bath, dinner, bath, bed, or however you want to do it, that's amazing too. And if you can do that, go and do it. And again, if you need advice or support, there's people out there that can help with that as well. So no matter what you want to do in life or how you see your life, it can be achievable. And you might think, oh, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mum, nobody's going to see me as if I've got a job or as an important person. You are as important than everybody else, than anybody else. Your kids are getting your nourishment, they're getting your love, they're getting your time. And that's not to say that a mum or a dad who works isn't as good a parent, because you are. You're going out to do a job to ensure that the dreams or the goals that you've got for you and your family are achievable. So no matter what you want to do in life, as long as it's something that you want to do, do it. Now, obviously I've spoke before about my counselling, any counselling. When it comes to counselling, if you're going for counselling, especially, you're not so much able to choose if you go through like NHS or through your GP or whoever, if you get referred. You're not so much able to choose who counsels you. obviously, if you don't click with a person and you really find it hard to open up to them, you can approach sort of management or whoever and just say, listen, I'm really not able to open up. Can I change? They might say yes, they might say no, I don't know. But then if you go private, you can choose. And most of us, and I definitely do it, and I do know quite a few others that do it, we offer a free initial consultation. Sorry, my words aren't working today, are they? We're just, this is how tired I am. I'm stumbling over my words, and I think I'm saying about 5 words in the 1 word. So we offer an initial phone consultation, which is free, or at least most of us, it's free. And the reason I do the initial consultation is I can ask you questions, you can ask me questions, we get to see whether I'm the right fit for you. So I'd be able to tell if what you're telling me, if I think I can help you, if I'm qualified enough to help you, if I have enough experience to help you. You also get a feel as to whether you would feel comfortable opening up to myself. Because you can normally tell within the first conversation or the first couple of conversations how the conversation's going. Is it flowing easily? Is there a lot of awkward silences? All these different things. And I don't take offence if anybody was to say to me, I don't think you're the right fit for me. That's okay. Because the most important thing is you get the right help. You get the right support. So you go, or maybe you want to say, I'm just going to phone round another couple of other people, a couple of other counsellors, and see what they're saying, and I'll get back to you. Absolutely fine. Or you might want to book in straight away, which again is amazing. When it comes to life coaching, it's the same process. They have three, life coaching, wellness coaching, business coaching. It's the same process. We do the initial phone consultation. Now, depending on where your business is based, there may be the opportunity for me to come visit your business. There may not, again, depending on where you're based. But if I can't physically visit your business, we can do a walk around the business on a Zoom call so that I can get visual. You can show me different things. Obviously, as long as it doesn't affect any kind of privacy rules. So there's lots of different ways that we can do things. Now, one of the questions a lot of people ask when they first call or message or whatever they do to get in contact is they ask, how many appointments will it take? Or they'll say, will I be fixed after one appointment? I don't like that term, fixed. I don't like it at all. Because it's not that you're broken. Yeah, you are broken in a way, but it's not about fixing, it's about making you the best version of you. And I can't tell you how many appointments it's going to take you. What I can say is, we'll never keep you on for any longer than you need to be with us. Because again, that can have a detrimental effect on you, because you can end up getting too close. You can end up getting sort of too comfortable. You can rely on your therapist too much. So it's about getting the balance right. If you think it's time for you to move on, you say to your therapist. If your therapist thinks that the time's come for you to go and try or reduce your appointments, so if you normally do one every week, you can maybe reduce it to once a fortnight or once a month, and then gradually let you go and kind of enjoy your life. And it's not to say that you can't go back, because you can always dip back in and out whenever you need to. You can contact us. I know personally, that's how I work anyway. If you need to dip back in and out, you just get back in touch with me. If you even just want to check in and say, I'm doing amazing, that's great. I love to hear stories about when everybody's doing well, even if they're not with me anymore. So the whole reason we can't tell you how long it's going to take is everybody is different. Every therapy session is going to be tailored to you and your needs at that moment. So you might have somebody who only needs 6 sessions, whether it be coaching or therapy, because they maybe don't have an extensive It might be just that they're feeling a bit down, or they might just need help trying to figure out, put their head on the right path. But then you might have somebody that still has to come to you 6 months down the line. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, every single person is different, and a bit like if you've got a broken bone, none of us can say 100% your bone will be mended within 2 weeks or your bone will be mended within 6 weeks. We can't say everybody's bones will be healed and mended, or if you've got a graze on your knee, or if you've got concussion, if you get concussion from a car crash or a bang to the head or whatever, none of us can say 100% how long it'll take you to go over that. And that's just the way life works. We're all unique, we're all different, we can all go through phases in our life and at different speeds, at different rates. Some of us can handle a bit more than others at the one time, so you might be able to talk about a few different things in one session, whereas one person might take 5 sessions to talk about the same topic. And we all know Ian likes to talk, but me personally, it took me a very, very long time. But I dipped in and out as well. I went back and forth every now and again. I was probably a therapist's worst nightmare, to be fair. But that's me. I'm everybody's worst nightmare. Anyway, let's lighten the mood a wee bit. Do you know that Danielle doesn't believe people like my singing? I'm actually getting sick of her nonsense. So I was telling her last week that somebody enjoys my singing, and she rolled her eyes at me. And she laughed at me. I says, I'm telling you, I'm a good singer, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, go ahead and sing. I'm like, I'm not going to sing just on demand just because you want me to sing. I'll sing when I want to sing. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. I'm not much impressed with Danielle at the minute. She's not been a very good friend. She's not been nice to me. I'm joking. But no, we've started for the podcast, and she's got all guns blazing. She's ordered herself a new mic, and that came. What? I don't know what I've just done, but something made a noise. She ordered a new mic, so that came the other day. So she's unboxing that and whatever else today, I think. And we were going to talk about a certain topic this week on our podcast. Now we can't talk about it because we've just found out somebody else decided to talk about it. So she's convinced that they're listening on our phone calls. Now we don't know these people, but she's decided they're listening on our phone calls. So I'm just agreeing with her. I'm like, yep, they must have done that. Because how could there be another two people that think the same way as us? We're not normal. We are not normal creatures. There's no chance there's other people that think like us. And I'm sure there's a few people that would agree with that statement. So I don't know what we're talking about this week. But we're recording, I think, tomorrow. Tomorrow. The sun will come out. Tomorrow. That's not my best song to sing. It's a bit high. Sorry for that. Sorry for hurt your ears. But yeah, so I record this one either. Listen, I can record this one any time between a Monday and a Wednesday. And then I record with Danielle either Thursday or Friday. So last week it was a Friday. This week it's Thursday, I think. And then when I start the next podcast, that one will get recorded on a weekend and it'll go out on a Monday. So that one's going to be solo about business, as I've said to you before. The website's still getting worked on just now. That's almost ready. I don't know much what's left to do in that. A few tweaks, I think. A few adding some links and whatever else. But yeah, there's not much more to tell. I'm still trying to find a house. I know I said I probably wouldn't talk about that again, but it's really distressing me now. I need a house, and I need a house ASAP, because this house is just closing in on me now. Do you know that way when you know, like, say you know you're going to get a new car, so the car that you're currently driving really starts to annoy you? That's kind of the stage I'm at with the house, because once you know you're looking for a bigger house or a bigger property, you realise how little space you've got. And especially because we're in winter just now, so all our clothes get dried indoors. So when you're drying clothes, the house is even smaller. I mean, I say house, I'm in a 2-bedroom flat, so you can imagine, I work from home, live from home, everything from home, and there is no space in my home for anything else. And then I got in trouble. Did I tell you this last week? I can't remember what day I went shopping, but I got in trouble with my son last week because I bought some new bedroom furniture for my youngest, because he needs a lot more bedroom furniture than the older one for when we move. So I bought new. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still boxed. It's flat pack, so it's still boxed, so it doesn't take as much room as what you would think, but it's still getting me into trouble. And then I bought a load of boxes for packing up. I'd already obviously told you that I'd already bought 10 boxes and I've packed them up and they're in a cupboard now, creating more mess. So I ordered another 30 boxes, I think it was, and I said to him the other day, oh look, we got a free box because the boxes came in a box. And he's like, Mum, you can't use that box. It's like, it's bogging, which means dirty. It's falling apart, it's all ripped. And I'm like, but I'm sure we'll fit something in it. You know, as mums, we can make anything work. So I've got another 30 boxes to pack, but I'm not packing them up quite yet because I've got nowhere to put 30 packed boxes. Listen, at the minute I don't even think I've got anywhere to put me. So we are still on the look, although I did email an estate agent yesterday because they had put a house up, although it was only 2-bedroom and we need 3, and I said, can you send me more photos and also the floor plan, because they literally just put a photo up of the outside of the house. Do you know what that? He sent me the link that I emailed him from. That didn't have any more photos. Didn't have a floor plan. Didn't have anything. And I just thought, right, I get how you're playing this game, so guess what? Nah, I'm not entertaining you anymore. So, I'm not playing his game. Somebody else can have that house. I don't want it. There is another one. The only problem is it doesn't have a garage or a lockable shed. So we just need to keep looking. I was told that in January, the houses will start coming on the market now. They're just not coming on as quick as I need them to come on. And I've got all my alerts set up for when a house goes online, I should get an alert. But you know that way, you're like, how quick am I going to get the alert? Because I need to get in there first. I need that house. I need out this house. So yeah. That's as good as we're getting just now, and I'm trying to stop myself from buying anything else. Not that I've got the money to buy it, but I'm trying to stop myself from buying anything else because I've got nowhere to put it. It's going to end up, I'll have all this stuff stacked up in my car, and none of it'll fit in my car either. We'll just need to use my son's car for everything. He'll be like, Mum, go away, leave me alone. Well, I'll give you another laugh. It's got to the point I've even started putting stuff under my desk. Under my work desk, because I can't, stuff that used to go in my cupboard, I can't get into my cupboard because I've put three boxes in it. Oh, why am I like this? Somebody explain, why am I so, I just thought it was going to be dead easy to get a house. I thought, it's fine, I've decided I want one. Because there's always houses up for rent, isn't there? Until you need one or you want one. And then there's none. So I just thought, that's fine. This is what I want. And it's not that there's not any houses like that in my area. They're just not up for rent now. So I thought, right, okay. So I'll get the ball rolling. I've told all the estate agents that need to be told that I need what I'm looking for. So I'll start packing up. No, that's not how it works. Unfortunately, it's not how it works, and I'm figuring that one out the hard way. Oh, if you want to buy a house in Glasgow and rent it out to me, then send me a message. I'll tell you where I need to. I'll tell you what my requirements are, and I'll just pay you every month. By the way, that's a joke. Kidding on. I also had plans to win the Euro Millions last night, and I was just going to go buy a house. I was going house shopping today to buy a house, and that didn't happen either. Didn't even win one pence. Not a single number, not a single nothing. All I got was thank you for buying your ticket. That was it. So even the lottery doesn't want to know me. Can somebody put some kind of lucky spell on me? Now make it lucky. None of your voodoo dolls and your unlucky spells or anything like that. Lucky. I just need a wee bit of luck to go my way. I'm not asking for hundreds. Just a wee tiny bit. I think I'm due it. I've had a run of bad luck for 46 years. Well, 45. Here I've just made myself a year older than my mum. 45 years I've had a run of bad luck for. On and off, obviously. Not constant. So I think I'm due a bit of good luck. So if anybody wants to come and rub my hand, rub some good luck. Give me a genie in a bottle. What's the tune for that again? I can't remember. Christina Aguilera, I love her. So yes, if anybody would like to throw some good luck in my direction, help me find a house, or help me win a lottery, feel free. Feel free. We're not doing any more bad luck. Bad luck is a thing of the past, and I am creating a better future, and I have been for many years. Quite a few years. So yes, we are busy, busy. Aileen's always tired. But this one will be up at 7 o'clock tonight, which is Wednesday. Gossip with Friends, which is the one I do with Danielle, is out every Saturday at 12 p.m. And you can find me on the socials, mainly TikTok, Facebook and Instagram, because I don't really use any other ones, even though I've probably set them up. And it is Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast. You can email me at rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. If anybody would like to advertise on the podcast or sponsor, feel free to send me an email, and we can have a wee chat about packages. If anybody would like to discuss therapy or coaching, anything like that, you can get me at either rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com or therebootsanctuary@gmail.com. I'll answer you on either or. Anyway, I am going to leave it at that, because I've run out of things to say, and that's not like me, but it's because I'm so tired. I think I need a wee boost of energy, and I don't like energy drinks, so I don't know how I'm going to manage that. Maybe need, I don't know. I think I just need a big sleep. I've got a cheek. I really have got a cheek, because I've been going to my bed at 8:30, like I said to you. Although, in my defence, I don't sleep all night. I toss and turn. But yes, I hope everybody has a good week. I hope you found this episode of interest or comfort or help. I may continue it next week, because a lot more information that I can give out on this sort of topic, because I don't think it's spoken about enough. I think everybody just jumps down that if you're feeling down, you must be depressed or you must have mental health struggles, and that's not necessarily the case. So I think it will be one that I'll continue at some point, whether it be next week or later down the line. I'm not 100% sure. I'll keep this posted, but for now, take care. Contact me if you need to ask any questions, want some advice, or want to book in. And if I don't hear from you, I will maybe see you, speak to you. Maybe you'll hear me before I hear you. Listen, I don't know. I'm rabbiting, as usual. So everybody take care, look out for each other, and I will speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.